Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus as we go into the Word of God together. We want to thank you for the anointing in the office of a pastor, teacher, that this gifting will move and work and operate. And there will be gifts of utterances, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits shall operate. And even, if possible, working of miracles, gifts of faith, gifts of healing shall operate. We're expecting it. We thank you the other gifts. You know, we thank you for the revelation gifts, as we mentioned. But also we thank you for the gifts of utterance, the vocal gifts, prophecy, tongues and interpretation of tongues. And we accept those gifts. And we believe that you manifest yourself in the nine ways that the Bible describes to us. And we believe that. We accept it. We want it because we believe it's a big blessing. And so, Father, we ask that you would stretch forth your hand, that if there's anybody that's sick in the audience, whether it's the television audience, whether it's the people that are watching online on their tablets or their whatever apparatus they're using, that the blessing, the Holy Spirit, will minister to them. And so we believe that you're everywhere. You're the very God, the very present God in the time of trouble. And so we thank you today for your presence is everywhere. And you know everyone. You said you know every person here. You know them by name. You know them before they were even born. And you provided for all the things that needed before they were born. You're such an awesome God. It's hard for us to, in our imaginations, our natural minds, to actually, it just blows our sockets to think about that. You know everything. We are finite. You're infinite. You're beyond our understanding. And so we thank you for all those things. We give you praise for all the giftings and for the privilege of being a child of God because we accepted Jesus in our lives and you made us yours. We thank you for that. We thank you for all the benefits of being in the family. All the benefits, all the good things. Forgiveness and healing and health, success, victory, protection. And just the spiritual gifts of just having wisdom. Making decisions and the way we make decisions, the timing and the love and the faith that you give us and the hope you give us. We thank you for inspiration tonight. And we thank you for the way that you move and move among us the way you desire. And so we yield our spirit, our soul and our body to you that we may grow and that we leave here different than when we came in. That we would be full of hope and full of vibrancy of the Spirit of God as we leave here. We would be strengthened as we go to sleep tonight. We'll have a good sleep and not worry about a thing. Because we cast every care upon you right now, Lord. We're not going to be scared about anything, about the future, about our past, or present things that's happening. We thank you for the wonderful name of Jesus. The name that's above every name. We thank you for the Word of God that penetrates our hearts. And that we can see with the eyes of faith things that we cannot see with our own physical eyes. And we see them and we believe them into this realm in our four-dimensional world that we live in. We thank you for the Spirit of God. So, in advance. And we lift up our hands in praise and we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. You have to, you know, sometimes if I get praying, I'll continue. You can be seated. I'll pray until the cows come home. I'm not a farmer, but I hear that. It sounds pretty good, though. You pray, you know, you pray till the cows come home. We are finished at 8 o'clock, if you're wondering. You know, because sometimes, you know, you get afraid. You come into a charismatic meeting like this. And, you know, I was born in a denominational church. I grew up in a denominational church. And I ran away from that church after a while because it kind of confused me. Because the God that they described to me was a wicked God. And I didn't like poverty. I didn't like sickness or disease. And they said, if God, God is the one who is responsible for everything. And I didn't like that. And so, you know, I got into addictions. And And I ran away from God. I said, I didn't want anything to do with God, that kind of thing, that religion. And so when I came to a treatment center, they said, they taught the 12 steps there, the step program. And they came to step three. I couldn't give my life over to God because I didn't really trust Him. And because I had misunderstood about God. So religion taught me some very stupid things, some very crazy things that I couldn't accept, that God was doing all the things. He was responsible for my upbringing, that I was put into a school, a residential school, and I suffered harm. My family suffered harm. I was in poverty, and I couldn't accept it. And so they said to me, you gotta have a spiritual way of life and accept God in your life. And so somehow, with the magical touch, it's not a magical touch, but supernatural touch of God, that God began to touch me. And I begin to recognize that my thinking was wrong. And that's why you need the Word of God to straighten out your thinking. You need to reprogram your mind and change your heart to different things. So we want to make sure that you think right, think healthy, and don't think negative about God, because God's always good. And He does everything right. And he's such a wonderful Lord. And so I want to preface that by saying that because, you know, sometimes when we teach on things, people don't have the background to what you're actually presently talking about. It's like going to a university and taking a third-year course when you missed the first and second part. And I remember taking a course in university once. You know, you think you're smarter than you are. So I thought I'd take a third-year course and miss like 2 years of something. I took a philosophy. I thought I was going to go crazy, but anyway, I took some courses, and I recognized I missed a whole pile of stuff. So when you come to church, you know, everything I say, you might not understand already because you're missing some parts. And just because I said something here, you know, it's just one part of it. You can't just hear one message about something and accept that's all there is to say, because there's so much more to say about a subject. And so that's why I spend sometimes 7-8 times in one thing, one session, and just get over one point. And so there's so much to learn. And I recognize that when people hear things, they're hearing from where they are. You know, a 10-year-old kid knows a 10-year-old mental capacity. If you're 47, you understand it from that standpoint. And so be patient with yourself and other people, because sometimes, you know, we're impatient with people, they don't understand. So I'm going to try to teach this thing that we're going to do tonight. So I want to talk to you about 7 steps to get your prayers answered. How many people like to have their prayers answered? Amen? I believe so. And so let us read some scripture. And I neglected to actually mark down all the scriptures I wanted to talk about. Let's first of all go to, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. It seems to me I'm having trouble getting online here. James chapter 1. Okay, James chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. I'm reading the King James Bible. For all you King James fans, this is exactly for you. So 6, 7, and 8. How many double-minded people we have tonight? I'm just teasing. Okay, let's go. I'm actually working at the same time finishing my notes because I neglected to put these two scriptures on here. But because our television programs are edited, I could do stuff like this. I can tell them, edit that, take this out. And sometimes he takes the funniest parts of the service out of there and he's been adding them. So one day he's going to be putting all the string of my mispronunciations the stupid things I do on television in front of you guys, and he's gonna put it as a special program. You know, maybe when I'm dead, I don't know. Hope not. Okay, let's go to chapter 1, verse 68. James said, "But let a man ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavered is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." And then Joshua chapter 1. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Let's put it right up there, Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to teach on these particular verses of Scripture. And Joshua chapter 1, and let's go to verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This is going to be the slowest section of my teaching tonight. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Well, you can thank God that I'm not moving fast like Pastor Ken. And he's a real fast one, especially when you drive with him. Praise God, amen. Nothing about that. I can just tease him, but, you know, he doesn't mind. He likes when I tease him, actually. We're brothers. Okay, so Joshua chapter 1, do you have it? Okay, this book of the law, now, you know, it's called book of the law, and sometimes people get scared because it's a law. They don't like something legalistic, but the law is actually just means, you know, the word. Because, you know, James in his book in the New Testament calls it the book of liberty, the law of liberty. It's a freedom book. So this book of the law shall not, everybody says shall not. So that means you got to do something here. Shall not depart out of your mouth. That's, you know, you need to talk about it. Who do you talk about it to? Well, first of all, you need to talk to yourself. So this Bible tells us to talk to yourself, because you talk to yourself all the time anyway, negatively. So you have to do this positively. So this book of law, this Bible, shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, you need to put this in your mouth. You know, the more you talk about something, the more you believe in something. That's why some people who talk about negative things, or they talk about, you know, things that are not true, they start believing their own lies. How many people were like that? Don't have to lift their hands, but okay. So, but thou shalt meditate. The word meditate. Here's a word picture of meditate. The word picture, you know, it doesn't mean that you, just go into some kind of trance and you go, That's not what that word means. That word meditate means to mutter, to talk under your breath to yourself about something. And that is the Word of God. Instead of talking about the trouble, you talk about what the Word of God tells you. The Word of God is the meditation of the Word is such a great thing in your life. It imprints on your spirit and renews your mind about things. You shall meditate day and night. That means you do it every day, that you may observe to do all that is written. In other words, you're not just going to be hearer of the Word, but you're going to practice what you learn. Okay, so for then, when you do that, when you meditate on the Word, and when you practice the Word, then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. So this is the way we guarantee ourselves, if we go to the Word of God and we practice this on a regular basis. You know, they always tell us we should practice what we preach. That's a pretty good thing, right? Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to go to verse 7, I believe it is, and verse 7 and 8. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 and 8. And we're going to read that together. Is that slow enough for you? You don't want to fall asleep, right? Okay. I know some people like it. They like it really slow. Okay, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. That's a pretty persistent person there. Then let's go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And we're going to look at verses 23. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. Verse 23 and verse 24. All right. Now, okay. This is the last time I'm going to be slow. So you have to, after this, I'm going to be really fast. Okay. Verse 23, Mark chapter 11. For verily I say unto you, now just as Jesus talked to his disciples, I say to you that whosoever, well, how many whosoever's we got here? We got lots of them. Whosoever shall say, that means you are talking, you're going to be talking, you shall say unto this mountain. Mountains are symbolic of anything that's, big and huge something that's almost impossible for you to move. Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Notice this, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, that is, believe in his heart. Okay, so hear me, just jump off here for a second. Shall not doubt, but shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in his heart. Look at it says here. If you say something that you're having a hard time with in life, Jesus is talking here symbolically about something. He's not talking about actually moving the mountain. He said, if there's a mountain in your life, you have a financial mountain, excuse me, a financial mountain, if it's a sickness or disease or something like that, like I said, they'll take this off. And be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. Let me tell you, you are as a person, the Bible teaches us that we're, first of all, spirit beings. The spirit and the heart are the same thing. They're interchangeable terms. So we're spirit beings, first of all. We're spiritual people. So we're spiritual beings. And then the Bible tells us we have what we call a soul. So your soul is connected to your spirit. It's not the same, but it's of the same thing. It's so close that you cannot pull it apart. So your soul is really your thinking or your imaginations, your feelings, your will. Okay? So that's what your soul is. And so you have to change that after you get born again. Okay, but so your soul, I'm trying to get at something here. And then you live in a body, your physical body. So you see me here, and I see you there too. So that's your body. Your body is not your real you. Your spirit is the real you. And your spirit is supposed to determine what you do in life instead of your body telling you what to do. Because your body will want to be boss of your life, and your unrenewed mind wants to be the boss of your life. But your spirit man should be the boss, which should be filled with the Word of God. If you don't fill your spirit with the Word of God, then your mind will boss you around, make all the decisions. Notice this scripture the Lord showed me the other day. He says, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your feelings, with all your physical appetites. No. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Watch this. But shall not doubt in his heart. That's your spirit. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, that is believe, with your heart. Okay. So the question here in this verse of scripture, what's the heart? Your heart is your inner man. Your heart is your spirit. So when you believe in God, you're not using your five senses. Because you can't know God with your five senses, with your feelings. Now, sometimes you can feel, as we say, feel God. I mean, there's times I can just sense God, not with my feelings. I don't taste God. Well, sometimes people said, I smell God, I smell heaven, That's just my perfume. Okay, so whatever. So your heart is your inner man, your spirit. And so when you believe God, when the Bible says, believe with your heart. Can we just go over here for a second? Because this is so important to understand, because you think you know this. I'm going to tell you this now. You think you know this, but I'm going to tell you, when you go through a hard time, like when someone's dying and you have to believe with your heart, this is going to come up. When you have a hard time, doctor says you have cancer and you have to believe with your heart and your body's hurting. I'm going to show you something here. Watch. Okay, go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. I want to show you. He says, believe with your heart, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, that is, believe in his heart. Okay, well, we'll finish that off. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Are we there, Kels? Okay. Here we go. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart. Okay, so we see that same reference or phrase or expression the Bible uses, believe with your heart. He didn't say believe with your feelings. He didn't say believe with your body. He didn't say believe with your mind. You cannot believe God with your mind. No, you have to renew your mind with the Word of God to start thinking right. Okay, so one of the challenges we have after we come to Christ, after we come to be born again, is to renew our mind in the Word of God, to change our mind, to change our thinking from the way we were brought up, because we make decisions on how we feel. But the Bible says, listen to this, Proverbs chapter 5. Okay, let's go to Proverbs chapter 5 for a second. We'll come back to this. Now, we'll go to all kinds of scriptures here. I'm supposed to be teaching on the seven things you need to know about healing. I'm telling you, this is good. Is this good? Yeah. Proverbs chapter 5, did I say chapter 5? Chapter 3, verse 5. Come on, Kellis. Ta-da! Look how fast it goes. Ta-da! Good girl. Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He didn't say trust in the Lord with your feelings. Trust in the Lord through the circumstances of life. Some people say, I wonder if this changes, I know this God's working for me. If the check comes in early, God must be working. If people like me or they look for signs outside there to determine whether or not they're in the will of God. If everything falls into place, then it's got to be the will of God. No, not really. Okay? Not really. You could be really followed up this way. So trust in the Lord. The word trust means to be confident in. It means to have faith in. Right? Trust in. When you trust in something, you believe in, right? So trust in the Lord with all your heart. So we see that expression here three or four times already. So let me help you out. When you're trusting with your spirit, you can't live in this world without your body. You're made to live in this world with your body. Okay? So trusting with your spirit means you don't depend on your five senses to believe God. You don't believe with your feelings. You don't believe what you think about it. Our measuring stick is always God's word. What does the word say about it? Because you can only see into the spiritual realm unless God opens a door and lets you see through a vision or discerning the Spirit. These are gifts of the Spirit. Okay, so you can only see, you know, Hebrews tells us we can only see things with the eye of faith. That is the Word of God. I learn, you know, through reading other people's, you know, different books, you can learn things through other people's readings. Can you? People can take you to Africa just reading their book. You know, hey, I've been to Africa. I read the Bible. I read their storybook. Because you see with their eyes because they put it on paper. Well, God does the same thing. He puts it on paper. He shows you something with, you know, the Bible is called your spiritual eyes. He lets you see through His Word what's going to happen. So we trust in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord is trusting the Word. The Lord, God or Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Lord is the Word. It's the same as Scripture, the Word. So you could say this way, trust in the Lord with the Bible or with Scripture. You know, you can't do this on your own. You know, you have to grow into different things. You trust, you know, you can't trust stupidly, right? Because you can get into trouble. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Okay. So trust in the Lord with the Scripture, with all your heart, and lean on and trust in the Lord with all your heart. That is, you trust the Lord, you're trusting God, you're trusting the Word with your spirit, with your inner man. Let me just put it this way. Your spirit doesn't depend on your five senses to believe God. It depends on the Word to believe God. You trust in the Word. Okay? Are you still following me? Okay, so trust in the Lord with all your heart. Look at this. And lean not unto your own understanding. In other words, you know, we all can see part of the thing. It might be true. Some of it might not be true. Trust the Lord with your own understanding. Because sometimes we try to believe God with our own understanding. Here's the illustration. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, God tells them in that chapter, God tells the Israelites, go over and take the land that belonged, that God gave them, but there's enemies there. Giants with fortified cities, go and take that land. And the Bible says they didn't trust what God said, they trusted in what they saw. Their five senses. When they should have believed with their heart what God said. So they were defeated because they were leaning on what they saw with their own understanding. And then sometimes this is where we go wrong. You know, here's something that, you know, you see this in Hebrews chapter 8 or chapter 11, verse 8. The Bible says that Abraham believed God even though he didn't have the full picture. A lot of times we don't know the whole picture. We know something about something and we go in a certain direction, but we're trusting God and His Word. You know, because, you know, when I was called to the ministry, I mean, I had a spiritual experience that even that, if you have a spiritual experience, you forget about it because you live in this world. You know, because you can't live on spiritual experiences. Although that's wonderful. You live on the Word. You live and walk by the Word. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's the Word of God. We live by the Word of God. We're encouraged in the New Testament to walk by the Word of God. So when you're believing God, you're not believing because you feel a certain way. You don't believe God with your emotions. You don't use the natural senses to believe God. You believe with your heart. The term believing with your heart means believing independent of your five senses. So that's what you need to understand. So you're believing with your spirit, If you say, I want this mountain to be removed, and you're looking at that mountain, there's nothing moving. So you have to believe with your spirit that God said whatever he said is going to come to pass. Okay? So, so we were in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, I believe it is, 23, 24. So here, in chapter, Romans chapter, we read Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How could you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? You didn't see him. You didn't see him on the cross. You didn't see him come out of prison, come out of, hell. Ta-da, I'm here. You weren't there. You had to believe on someone else's word that Jesus was raised from the dead. I think it's 2 Peter 1 where he says, you believe in Jesus even though you didn't see him be raised from the dead. You love him even though you never saw him. How could you love somebody you never saw? So that's what Peter says, right? So let's go back to Mark chapter 11 and verse 23, 24. So we haven't gotten out of our verses before we'll come there. For verily I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. I told it to go, but it didn't go. Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. This is a spiritual law. Shall have whatsoever he said. So thank God. He said, therefore I say to you, now he's talking about prayer because the 23rd verse is a law of the God kind of faith. So this is important to know if you're going to pray. Because this is attached to every other prayer that you'll ever pray. So therefore I said to you, what things soever you desire when you pray. So the moment you're praying for something, you have to believe that you receive it then. The second, the moment you utter those words, you have to believe I got it. When you don't have it in the natural. Okay. So you don't do that with your mind. You don't do that with your feelings. And you can't see it's happening. You don't see the angels going to work. You don't see the Holy Spirit moving. You don't see the change. You don't feel any different. You're just praying. So the moment you pray, you have to believe. But before this ever happens, this is where your meditation comes in. That's where we go to the previous, words we gave you about, meditation on the word. So you have to meditate the word in order for your feet on the word, because then it becomes a part of you. So some people are not ready to pray for anything until they get the word in them. Are you there? Okay, so that's why I said a lot of times, when people want something, there's a cell phone over there. Sometimes people say, they pray for things. That's why you shouldn't just be ready to pray for somebody right away, because they want you to pray for them, because they might not be ready. So you got to give them the word. Show them what the word says. Some people say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, and passing. Agree with me, agree with me, agree with me. Well, if you sat down with them, talked to them, you might not even be agreeing together. Right? You don't know. They might be hoping and you're believing. Or you might be hoping and they're believing. So believe when you pray. What do I do when I pray? I believe that I receive. Receive what? Whatever you're desiring, whatever you pray. Well, how do I know what God is when I don't have it, when I don't see it, I don't feel it? You'd know it by the Word. The will of God determines it. That's why, you know, if you're praying for somebody who's sick and they're just really deathly ill, you don't want anybody to pray but someone who can pray the prayer of faith. If you say, oh, the guy's dying, and you say, oh, Lord, I stick my hand on him. Heal him, Lord. If it's your will. Well, you don't want that guy to pray for you. Because you're going to die. He said, no, Lord, you pray like this. Lord, your word says, you know, 1 Peter 2:24, that by his stripes I'm healed. And we believe that, according to the word of God, that healing belongs to us. And we're confident in the Word of God, and I'm laying my hands upon him as a point of contact. And when I touch him, that's the point we're going to start believing together that healing has been granted unto him. Amen. And then you pray and you lay hands on someone and they say, okay. And then you finish your prayer and you tell them, did you receive your healing? You say, well, I sure hope so. Well, then they're not going to get it. Yeah. Even though he's racked up with pain, he even feels worse than before. I mean, his blood pressure even went higher, and the pain went a little bit higher. And when you finish praying, you said, did you receive? Oh, yes, I did. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you look more sick than you were. I don't care. I believe in the name of Jesus. I receive my prayer and things that I don't care what the doctor had said and whatever else is going on. I believe I receive. Hallelujah. Because if I ask someone if I'm healed, they'd say no. If I ask the doctor if I'm healed, he'd say no. You got worse. If I look at the MRI and all the pictures and whatever, they'd say I'm not healed. If I ask myself, if I ask my feelings if I'm healed, my feeling would say, no, you're not healed. But if I see God's word, he said, I'm healed. That's trusting in the word. And so this is where we are. This is the crux of different things when we start believing God. And there's so many times people haven't got by the faith part before anything else. Faith, you know, it touches every aspect of prayer. The prayer of agreement. The prayer of forgiveness. You have to believe that you forgave someone, even if you're worse mad than before after that. You have to believe, you know, you're consecrated to God. You gave yourself to God, even though you made some more mistakes. And so we have to believe that. Believe what? Believe that you receive them. That is whatever you're praying for, the thing that you're praying for. Notice this. Believe is a present tense designation. It means right now. It's a verb meaning like right now. I believe right now. You don't say, I'll believe tomorrow. No, you're believing when you pray, you're going to believe right now. And so the way you determine that you're going to believe right now is that you meditated on the word, and then when you pray, you're going to be ready to accept the word. The Holy Ghost is doing something in here tonight. Amen? He's doing something in all these people back there. Even little Benny's on his thing. He's getting the word in him. Little feller, I'm going to get you. Okay, so believe that you receive them, and notice that you shall have them. It's shall, future, present, or past. How many would say shall is the past? Let me see your hand. How many people say shall is if? Is present tense. How many of you, by lifting your hand, say, shall is future tense? Well, some of you never listen to anything. You know? So, anyway, shall is future tense. So, just because you believe you receive right now, doesn't mean you're going to have it. Somewhere along the line, you're going to have it. Okay. It's 8:06. I did say 8 o'clock, but I'm going to lie a little bit here. I'm going to stretch out. I'm going to speak evangelistically. So now, we want to talk on the introduction. So I shared with you the scriptures. So this teaching of the seven ways of the 17 methods, these seven steps to prayer, this teaching will cover the basic aspects of the prayer life of a person, of learning to pray and believing if anyone would take these simple steps, they will get their prayers answered every time. The first thing you need to do is decide what you want from God. Remember that we talked about the desire? He'll have whatsoever he desires. So number one, we read the scripture in James chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. The word waver means to doubt, to waver. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven, tossed by the wind. Let that man not think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, stable in all his ways. You can't just say, I feel good today. I got it. Next thing, I don't have it. So when you do that, you're walking by your soul, or you're walking by your emotions, or walking by circumstances, what you see. So if you're walking by circumstances, what you see, or you're walking by how you feel, you're not going to get it. You can walk by how you feel. You got to walk by, I walk by faith, not by sight. Walking by faith means I'm walking by the Word of God, not by circumstances. Amen. Not by how I feel. I'm walking by the Word of God. How many of you are saved? How many of you are saved? Okay. Do you always feel saved? No, you don't ask yourself. You never ask yourself, let's see, do I feel saved? We don't ask ourselves how we're saved. We just know we're saved. Why? The Word of God says we're saved. The same way you know you're saved is the same way you know you're healed. Or that your prayer is answered. How? By the Word of God. That determines it. So somebody said, well, teach something that, a little higher than that. Well, we'll get there. James reveals by the Spirit how important it is to be decisive, especially when making important decisions in about prayer. The word reveals that if someone can't make up their mind, they'll be unstable in all his ways or their ways. They can't expect to get anything from God if you're that way. Too many are indefinite when praying. We need to be exact when praying for something. Don't be praying aimlessly or just be praying unless, don't just be doing this unless you're just fellowshipping with God. You must be precise in what you're asking God for. Praise and worship, would fall under the category. So you're praising God, you're thanking God. You're not asking God for anything, but you're just telling God how wonderful, awesome He is. So we're dealing with praying to get answers. In this teaching, we have to have a goal in mind. When you order something online, say you go online, you order something, you have to be exact on what you want. Mm-hmm. What size, what color, and all that. You have to put your exact numbers on there, your credit card and all that. If you don't, you're not going to get it. Right? So you have to be exact. The same thing is true when it comes to prayer. You have to know exactly what you want from the scripture, what the Bible declares that you have already. The Apostle Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. It's better to pray 1 or 2 minutes about something than to pray hours about something that you don't know how to do, how to pray or how to release your faith. Sometimes, you know, just saying, you know, just making an agreement with making an agreement with, you know, like we prayed today. My wife and I said, she said, oh, we're going to believe this. I said, okay, just say it. I'll agree. We agree. You can either pray it or say it. We heard Brother Hagin say that many times. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to pray about everything. Especially when it's when you know it's on the tablets of the Word of God. You know it's there. You say, no, I received that in the name of Jesus. You don't have to get religious about it. Go on your knees and just cry and just act religious. No, just say, oh man, that's mine. Thank you, Lord. And trust God. That is done. So it's better to do that. So we did step one. So let's close in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to thank you tonight. As we close this session, we give you praise and thanksgiving. Because you're such a wonderful Lord, wonderful God. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We thank you for answered prayer, and we're learning how to receive answers in our prayer. Let's go ahead and stand up as we close. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that your revelation knowledge was evident tonight. The evidence of the Spirit of God working amongst our people. And things were uttered by the Spirit of God that revealed things where people have been wrong, where they maybe need to shore themselves up and build themselves up in. And things that they was more clear, became more clear to them. We thank you for the Word of God that really makes a whole lot of difference in terms of what we're doing spiritually. Thank you for the wonderful Word of God, the unchanging Word of God. It's the Word that makes all the difference in the world. The principles, the spiritual laws, the principles of the Word of God that really makes the change in our lives. If we come in line, bring ourselves in line with that Word and start believing it, start acting it, and start saying what it says about us, then things begin to change in our lives. So right now we yield to you, Lord. We yield to your Word. We yield to the Spirit of God. We thank you for all that's happened in our lives. We thank you that when we use these seven steps, we can really trust that our prayers have been answered, because we know that in accordance to your Word, that it's done. So thank you, Father. Everybody say this. Say, I'm a doer of the Word. See, I just don't listen to the Word. I practice the Word. I put it to use. I'm seeing things change in my life. My spirit has been fed tonight. My mind has been adjusted. My mind is renewed. I feel a whole lot better about life than I did before I came in. Thank you for healing. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for answered prayer. Things are going to go a whole lot better. I give you praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God.